Tonight we would like to continue to look at Jesus' teachings, his doctrine, and just as we tried to point out this morning that it was new, and they would have discussed it as something they had not seen or heard before. Just an example of his words, he had the power to forgive sins on the earth, and they said, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And yet Jesus pronounced a man's sins forgiven, and that's why when we have people study with us about the thief on the cross, and Jesus said, "This day you shall be with me in paradise," he had the power to say that. And that man had every confidence that that would be true, what Jesus said. We pointed out that he taught in a variety of ways. Whatever the people could understand, if it would be parables, if it be questions that they had, he would answer them. If it would be religious people, he would say things that astonished them, and they needed to think, well, you know, we don't know it all yet. He's bringing something new to us, to our hearing. And he had the words of eternal life. He said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me." And he taught openly. It was not a secret doctrine, but he taught publicly in the temple, and later on Paul would say, you know, we taught it house to house, whenever we had the opportunity, in the synagogues, wherever. Power of his word was as such that the winds and the waves would obey him, and men who knew what authority was did not question his authority, because they knew that they could say things and there would be results. And Jesus could say things and there would be results. And the apostles continued right on in this doctrine. I want to focus tonight on the teachings of Jesus and the idea that when he had this multitude of people that are recorded for us as hearing him in Matthew chapter 5 when he was on the mountain, that these people had heard and had teachings, religious teachings, obviously. These were God's people. And they had teachers. So what were they hearing? Well, hopefully they were hearing the law of Moses. This was what was in effect. And Paul in the Roman letter said that the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. So if they were hearing the law, they were hearing God's word. They were hearing the truth. And, you know, when Paul talks to Timothy about all Scripture being given by inspiration of God, he's including the Old Testament in that. Jesus said that that law needed to be observed. Remember in Matthew chapter 23, he criticized those who were the scribes and Pharisees for their shortcomings, but he did say they set in Moses' seat, and whatever they tell you to observe, you observe it and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not. But observe what they say if they are speaking the law of Moses and speaking God's instructions to Israel. Now, back in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus makes a statement about the law and the prophets. He says in Matthew 5, verse 17, "I did not come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men to do so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus is upholding the law, and he continually does that throughout his lifetime on the earth. It was the standard of authority, and Jesus lived under that law, and he taught others to obey that law, observe that law. And Jesus himself would not teach anyone to break the law because of what he said there. Whoever teaches men to do so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. So he's not going to break the law. His teaching will not break the law. He said, "I've come to fulfill the law." As we noted before, the law had great value. 2 Timothy 3:15, 16, Paul told Timothy that the Scriptures have made you wise unto salvation. And that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to every good work. So the value of the law is there in Jesus' day. Now, the problem arose for the people, it seems, is that they had the law of Moses, but on the other hand, there were oral traditions of the Jews. And later it's known as the Talmud, and it's